God is the same. But we're starting a new series through the book of John, the Gospel of John, an amazing journey. We're going to be doing the first part of John over the next 15 weeks. There's a lot in this book. And we're trusting that over the time, God shows and displays his character, his nature, who he is through this time. We're actually only going to reach chapter 7 in the 15 weeks. But that's great, because at a later stage, we're going to pick up the series again, and we're going to continue through the book of John, because we feel that it's important for us to sometimes just take every scripture and trust for God to show us and reveal his heart. You know that the full word of God is the inspired word of God. Every word. So we value that. And we want to just say, Lord, help us to do justice to it through the power of your Holy Spirit. I wonder if we can start by just praying this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that your word brings life. I thank you that we get to not only hear the word, but interact with the word. We thank you that, Lord, even as we're going to find out in this book, that Jesus, you are the word. You are the living word, the Rhema word. And I pray this morning that we would be open to what you say and attentive to what you say. And Lord, that we would not only be hearers, but doers. So I thank you for your love. We honor you, and we ask your Holy Spirit to do what you want to do. In Jesus' name, amen. So today really is, we're going to be starting with John chapter 1, obviously, and the first 18 verses of this chapter. But I'm going to use it really as an introduction for this series. I've entitled it The Light, the Life, and the Word of God. The Light, the Life, and the Word of God. That's who? It's the person of Jesus. And really, I can think no way better to start looking at any book of the Bible, not only John, but any book of the Bible, by proclaiming them one name that it's all about at the end of the day, which is Jesus, right? It's about him. We want to put him central and right at the beginning. Have you ever been excited to show somebody something? Anybody? Like maybe you got something, or maybe you've, I don't know, does that resonate with anybody? Have you like, and Cheddar, that new dress, eh? Woo! I tell you, girl. But when I was young, I had fantail pigeons. I don't know if you know what fantail pigeons are. They're like these white pigeons, but they have a fantail that comes out. And these were the love of my life, man. I tell you, I love these pigeons. And there was one particular pigeon, a male, who was, he was born from a clutch of eggs that I had, and he literally became so bonded to me, man. And we had this big, like, birdhouse in the backyard, and I would be able to go out onto the back veranda and call this pigeon, and he would immediately, even if you're sleeping, come out, he'd fly straight to me, come and sit on my shoulder, and I mean, it was just amazing. So this was my party trick. Every time I had friends around, I would say, come check this out, man, and I would be so excited to show them just how this pigeon was like there at my beck and command, you know. And I would then let him go, and he'd fly back to the coop. And this one day I had a couple of friends around, and I was like, come and check out my pigeons, you know. And I like, and especially this one. And I called this pigeon, and true to form, he performed perfectly. He flew down and landed on my shoulder, and I was like, awesome. And like I said, now watch, as I throw him, he won't just fly away, he'll just go straight back to the coop. Let him go and fly away. And as he flew away, a hawk. A hawk swooped down, and I was like, no! And there went my favorite pigeon, never to be seen again. It did not go the way I was anticipating. I tell you, it was one of my very young childhood heartbreak moments. But the point is, the story didn't go the way I was anticipating it would. I was just thinking about when we're looking at John's gospel, you know, the Bible, I just marvel at the way Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, how God, through His Holy Spirit, has orchestrated the Word of God to bring us into not just a revelation of who Jesus was, not to only see and hear testimony, but actually to bring about a change in our lives through an interaction with God. He interacts with us today. He's not a distant God. He's with us. He's in person here. He dwells within us. And I believe Scripture is tailor-made for us to be able to feel, not only see and hear, but feel and understand who Jesus really is. And I was thinking about this illustration. You know, you can look at something, like I've got these little balls here. These are decoration things, and they've made of, I don't know, there's string, and they're wrapped around balls. But I can say to you, you know, they're light. They're actually quite comfortable to hold. And you can see that, right? You can hear me speaking about it. But you don't actually know how heavy this thing is. You don't actually know what it is until you get to hold it. Monia? Well done. I'm impressed. Woo! Gary! But thank goodness it's light, right? But now, having touched it, for the guys that have, you actually can validate what I've said. True? It's not just that you've heard me say it's light and it's comfortable to hold, but when I threw it to you, what happened? You got to actually feel it. You got to touch it, and a new sense of belief comes into your mind. And when we look at four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the synoptic Gospels. So the reason they are, you know, if you're looking at a word, what synopsis means, it just means really a brief summary. It's like a general overview. It's this Gospels that were actually designed to, so that we could see the testimony of Jesus' life, we could hear about the testimony of what Jesus did. That's what the synoptic Gospels are. But then along comes John's Gospel, and it's different. And it's not that it's better, but it's different because God knows where each one of us are. And you can imagine, I want you to think of this in two ways. Firstly, as the disciples were walking after Jesus had resurrected and ascended, they were in a situation where when they look back on the previous history, the then and now history, do you know, just like that illustration of what I was saying with the pigeon, where it didn't go as anticipated, do you know that it hadn't gone as anticipated? They had expected the King of Kings, the Messiah, to come and overthrow the Roman government and to just bring about this amazing transformation of society. How many of us want that for Canada? Okay? That's the kind of situation that we're in. And then it didn't go as anticipated. So there's that aspect to it. But then there's the other aspect of what John comes to do, so that for us today who are seated here, we not only get to see and hear the testimony of Jesus' life, which is what Matthew, Mark, and Luke really are about, but we actually, through the book of John, we actually get to see, not only see and hear, but to believe and to give the opportunity to receive that incredible revelation of who Jesus is. That's why John came. He came for that time so that not they would see this wild man in the desert, coming out of the desert, but that as he pointed to Jesus, they would get to touch and to feel and to experience and to not only hear, but to believe and to receive and to make choices. And you're going to find, as we go through John, the book of John, it constantly is bringing us to the place of making choices. That's what John's Gospel does. There's two major themes that reoccur through the book of John that we're going to look at. The first is that through the Gospel of John, John the Baptizer is revealing Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. We know Scripture was penned by the Holy Spirit, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But John is revealing Jesus, and he's saying that as Jesus is revealed, if we read between the lines, what do we see? We don't only see Jesus, but we start to see the Father. And it's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing when we get to understand that Jesus was the exact representation of who the Father was and is. And John comes to show us that. The second thread that goes through the whole book of John is there's a redemptive thread. If you know what that mean, that word means, it just means to be redeemed. God, the whole Bible is for one reason and one reason alone, that man could be redeemed and reconciled back to the Father, to come back because of sin that came in the beginning. We know that. But there's this redemptive thread that runs through this book and constantly draws us back to do what? To make a choice, to accept Jesus or to reject him. That's what John's gospel does. So it's such a powerful book. If you, and I want to just encourage you, if you know somebody that's new on a journey with Jesus, get them to read through the book of John as a starting place, because there's an incredible intimacy of revelation of the love of the Father that comes through as John puts forward who Jesus really is, so that we can believe and receive him. One theologian wrote this, and I don't know his name, so I apologize for that, but he said this: the book of John is like a body of water that is shallow enough for a child to swim in, but yet deep enough for the biggest elephant to swim in as well. And by that, it just means that God wants to take us deeper to whatever level as we go through this series of the book of John. I want to ask you, pray, God, help me to go deeper in you as we look at this. So we're going to read quickly John chapter 1, verse 1 to 18. I want to read the whole passage quickly, and it goes like this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, or believed in his, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of men, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.' For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." Amazing passage of scripture. I want to just look quickly at four truths found in this passage as we start off the series of John, and we're going to see these truths not only in this passage, but we'll see them come through continuously through the whole book of John. Here's the first one: Jesus is the Word of God. Okay, now you might think, yeah, well, we know that, but it's an absolute pivotal point for us to get to understand and to grasp at the beginning of a journey like this as a Christian. No matter where our journey is, if we forget that in the beginning was the Word. Isn't it amazing that John starts off the book of John with the very first scriptures referenced back in Genesis, reminding us of the fact that before everything else was, he was. He was. Church, I don't know about you, but that should bring security into your life. There is no situation that you're going through today that he was not in before it even occurred, that he is not able to redeem, that he does not know about, that he has not set plans and purposes for you ahead of that situation, that he is in control of. Okay, We think so much on a level like this because of what we see around us. But God is not working in this level. He is above this level. It's from the highest of heights that he commands and he dictates and he sets our destinies in place. And we can sit back and go, in the beginning, before anything else, he is secure. He is steadfast. He is the rock. And as John echoes Genesis by starting with this thing of in the beginning, he identifies in the scripture that Jesus was the Word and is the Word of God. The Word is both with God and was God. It's an amazing thing. You know, when I speak, and you guys will be able to testify to this, when I speak, if you listen to me, and I'm not talking about here when I'm preaching, but when I'm with you in casual settings or whatever, do you think I'm the most serious guy on the planet, eh? You must have seen that in the way I speak, okay? When Craig speaks, do you think he's the guy that hates sport and just, like, is not interested at all in sport? Anybody believe that about Craig? No hands, okay? Why? Because when you hear him speak, right, you hear things that resonate from within him that give you an understanding of the nature of what he is like and what he likes and what he does, right? Just this morning, hey, did you check out the Oilers? Like, I was like, I didn't even see the game last night. I didn't have time. But Craig's on it, okay, because it's in his nature. He enjoys that, you know? I'm not the most serious person. I joke around a lot. That's who I am. And if you look at your own lives and your spouses, we all know that if you listen long enough to a person, you will know what their nature is like by the way they speak. True? And this is an amazing scripture because right from the outset, we see John revealing Jesus as the Word, and he's reminding us that what does the Word do? The Word reveals the exact nature of God. As we see Jesus, we start to see what God is like. And John says it's important. It's important that you don't only see him as a man walking around the earth. It's important that you understand that in the beginning, he was. And as you look at the character and the nature of Jesus, and as Jesus performed signs and wonders and miracles, don't just look at the miracles and signs and wonders. Look at the fact that Jesus is representing the exact nature of your Father in heaven. It's a beautiful thing if you think about it. When we look at Jesus, we see God. Jesus, as the Word, reminds us also that he is eternal, that he is the true Messiah, that he's the Savior of the world, and he was that right from the beginning. Nothing's changed. And John the Baptist says, as we go through this book, you'll see, as John the Baptizer, it wasn't a title, just by the way. It was what he did. He baptized. But we're going to hear more in the days to come, that as he functioned as a voice heralding the coming of Jesus, he was bringing about the truth of the Word. He was bringing about the fact that Jesus was representing the Father and is the exact nature and representation of the Father. And here's the beautiful thing. Jesus is knowable. Is that even a word? Knowable. I think it is. Jesus is knowable. We can know Jesus because he speaks to us as the Word. He comes to us in the fullness of his Word. He doesn't just come as a God on a podium in some sort of temple, but he comes to us as the Rhema Word, the living Word. That's what he does. Matthew 17, verse 5 says this. He was still speaking, and this was at the Mount of Transfiguration, if you remember the story, as Jesus was taken up into heaven. But it says he was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed him, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." See, the Father's bringing about the truth again for us through the scripture. And as they were watching that, here was the heralding of the fact that as Jesus comes, when he speaks, we should listen, because his word is truth. His word brings life. His word brings revelation of who the Father is. 2 Samuel 22 verse 31 says this as well. It says, "This God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord proves true. He is a shield for all of those who take refuge in him." So when we come to Jesus, we're not just coming to a prophet or a priest or a guru or someone who is like good ideas. No, we're coming to truth itself. We're coming to the person who the word truth is synonymous with. Does it make sense? He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. So the first thing, Jesus is the word of God. Second thing, the word of God is sustaining. Deuteronomy 8 verse 3 says this, "And he humbled you and let you hunger and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord." So when we're thinking of this scripture, John comes and through the scripture and through the word of God and through this whole gospel, we see the evidence of John stating what? He's stating this, that Jesus, the word of God, is sustaining. Okay, we think of the word as in the written word is sustaining, but when we understand that Jesus is the word, church, doesn't that give you a revelation? No matter what you're going through, we were praying for people for jobs just now and different things just now. Here's the thing. You have the sustaining word of God behind you. And that sustaining word of God is found in the person of Jesus Christ. He is behind you. His word is true. His promises are true. So when we come into our situations, no matter what it is, whether it's an up or down situation, or whether it's we're trusting for something, or we lacking something, or we believing for something, we don't have to come and just like go, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. No, what does the word of God say? The word of God is truth. And Jesus, when he comes and establishes truth, he performs it to bring about his purposes in our lives. That should give us courage. I don't know about you, but it gives me courage. Over the life of this church, he's spoken words. His word is true. So we can hold on with courage and with strength, knowing that God has plans and he will perform them. So coming to Jesus provides spiritual sustenance. Sustenance is experienced where? It's experienced in his presence. I love the fact that as we go through the book of John, you're going to see more and more of an encouragement to be in the presence of Jesus. Church, we're not here just to go along with a doctrine or theology or to do church. We're here to be in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's what this book encourages us. We put our lives in his hands and we get to listen and to obey the words of the King. Man, do you know what? If we just do that and that alone, nothing can stand against the plans and purposes that God has for our lives. Because that's his heart for us. His heart is, put your hands in the hand of the Master. You'll see from the picture that I put up there of this hand just holding the earth. You know, that's how God is with us. That's how Jesus is with us. He holds us in the palm of our hands. And stupidly, sometimes we want to dive off the end. I don't know why. But I know that I've done that, and I do it. And I just say, God, help me to keep myself in your hand. Help me. And the book of John gives us this revelation. If we just understand who Jesus really is, that he sustains us, we will never want to jump out of his hand. Honestly, that's his heart. Life becomes hard and hope may fade, but coming to God through his word sustains and holds us up. That's one of the lessons that comes through this book. Sustenance is accessed by coming to God through his word. And I want to give an illustration quickly. You remember in 2 Kings, there's the story about the Shunammite woman. And this lady, there's an account of the king where Prophet Elijah meets the Shunammite woman. She has built a place for the prophet to come and stay at, during rest on his ministry, to rest on his ministry trips. And the prophet asks, what can I do to repay your, you know, your kindness? And the woman says she's got no child. She's desperate for a child. So the prophet prophesies over her. And we know that in a year later, when the time the prophet prophesied would take place, she gives birth. She has this child. And after a couple of years, the most tragic thing happens. This child dies. And here's the amazing thing. When asked how she's doing at that time by her husband, she tells her husband, it is well. It is well. And you go, why? Why is she saying that? This was something that was prophesied over her. This was given to her by God. She had this child where she was not able to have children. She had this child. This child is grown up and now dies. And how come she says it is well? Because she understands that the word of God sustains. The word of God is truth. When Jesus speaks and when Jesus says something, we can take it as truth. We don't have to live with the lies of the devil. We don't have to trust what he says over what God says. And so what she comes back to the prophet and she reminds the prophet of the word that he had given from the Lord. This was a word from the Lord. It wasn't the prophet. You know, in those days when the prophet spoke, the Spirit of God would come on them. They would prophesy and then the Spirit would leave. But this was God having spoken over her, prophetic words. You will have a child. And now this child is dead. And she goes back and reminds the prophet. And the prophet prays and we know what happens. The boy is brought back to life. God's word stays true, church. And we've got to believe that over our lives. When we place our trust in Jesus and the truth of his word, we can always, in times of difficulty, lean into the fact that God stays true to his word. What are the promises over your lives today? What is the promises over this church today? Here's the truth of what I'm saying today. And we see it in the book of John, is that God always stays true to his word. Stays true to his word. Third thing quickly, Jesus is the light and the life of God. When we come to Jesus, we find the life and the light of God. Just going back to the John chapter 1 scripture in verse 4 to 9, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness. What did he come to bear witness to? He came to be a witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. In him was life. In him was light. There's two meanings around this that I believe we discover as we go through the book of John. First of all, as he was the life, he came and he gives us physical life. We are not here by an act of science. We are here by the hand of God. True? You are physically not present. I mean, I don't care what scientists say, but when you look at how a baby is created in the womb, man, there is no way that you cannot say that there is a creator who performs a miracle every time a new kid is born. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. So he comes to bring us physical life. But then the second thing that we see revealed through the book of John is that he gives us spiritual life when we come to him, when we receive him, and when we make him our Lord and Savior. He gives us a new life, new spiritual life that goes beyond just 3 score and 10 years, that goes into eternity. What about the light? Well, we know, I don't know about you, but I know this for sure, that the world is in darkness. You look around, hey? Darkness everywhere. And what comes from darkness? Fear. Fear comes from darkness. It does not come from light. True? 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, if you remember that scripture, it says he's given us a spirit. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and self-control. What he's saying is that actually when we come to Jesus, we don't approach Jesus and come to darkness. We come to light. And light drives out darkness. Light drives out fear. Outside of Christ, it's dark. Jesus comes and reveals himself as what? He comes and reveals himself as the light. And he calls us to trust him. And it's in that place that fear is driven out. That's why he can say, you don't have a spirit of fear. Because why? He gave us himself. He gave us himself, which is the ultimate light. So with Jesus, in the presence of light, darkness has to flee. That's why we can be confident. Ephesians 2 says we have received life in the name of Jesus. We were once enemies of God, but he reconciles us back to what? Back to religion? No. Back to the Father. He reconciles us back to the Father, and he gives us this light and life found in him himself, in Jesus himself. And then the fourth thing that we're going to discover as we go through the book of John, and it's found in verse 11 to 14. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave them the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of the man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So as we go through the book of John, and even now the revelation out of this first passage of Scripture, is that we don't come to him actually in truth. If we really are honest, he comes to us. He comes to us, church. You're sitting here because the love of the Father came to you. Jesus comes to us. I'm telling you, it's a revelation. If we actually understand that, we understand the privilege of what it means to be a son and a daughter of the Most High King. You know, you were not driven to this place by your anxiety or your fears or your needs. Those may be catalysts to an extent, but I'm telling you what, if you want to find a guru of religion, you have to go and look for him. You have to go and sit in some sort of temple and do the and whatever, and to try and find him, okay? But Jesus came to us. He comes to us. He came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. The Father said, I love you so much, I'm going to come to you and to bring you into this place of revelation of who I am. But he comes with a choice. And this is the thing that many of us who believe today have had the privilege of making that choice already, but it's not just a once and for all. Yes, for salvation, we get to choose. We get to receive truth, and we get to receive life. And when we do, it's ours. He gives us himself. But even on that journey, there is this process where every day we get to choose. And it's an ongoing thing. And John is a revelation of Jesus as what? The Word. And we know that the Word brings life. And so when those choices come our way, what do we turn to? We turn to Jesus. We turn to the Word, because it's in those places that we get to make the choice that is on God's heart, not my heart. That's his heart for us. We become his child. We receive his grace. He doesn't only remove our sin. And here's the scandal. And this we play down often too. We just say, oh, Jesus came to remove my sin. Part one, yes, he removed the sin. Where did he put that sin? He put it on himself. It's unbelievable. There was an exchange of a sacrifice, church. It wasn't just removed and thrown into some sort of dark place. Jesus actually said, no, I come to you. I love you so much. I will take your sin upon myself as a sacrifice, because there has to be an atonement for sin. There has to be a sacrifice. I am it. I am it. It's powerful. That's why when we proclaim the name of Jesus, I believe when people say it as a swear word, it grieves God's heart, because we do not understand what that name carries. That name carries the sin of the world upon it. That name carries your sin and my sin, and because of that, I no longer have to carry it. Unbelievable. We get to receive the truth. We receive knowledge as well. Why do we receive knowledge when we get to know Jesus? Because we get to know what he's like. So we not only receive truth, but we receive knowledge. You know, sometimes we go, well, wisdom is great to have. Don't worry about knowledge. No, both are necessary. Knowledge of who Jesus is and what he's done for us, and wisdom that comes from the Rhema word of God. As we put these things together, man, it's a powerful combination. And here's the last thing, church, and we'll see this through John. It was to, he came to establish himself in our lives, not to visit, not to just come and redeem us and then leave. He comes and he stays. He comes and he stays. And John's gospel testifies to that. And I trust as we go through this book that you get this revelation afresh, even if you've been with Jesus for many years. You know, we often point new believers to John, but I want to say to you today, please don't discount this book, this gospel, for what God wants to do within us, each one of us through this time. He wants to remind us that his word sustains us. True? Do you need the sustaining word of God today? I do. I need it more than before, ever before. What about reminding us that Jesus is the word? That when we're reading his word, when we're delving into scripture, we're not just delving into a book, but we're understanding and we're getting revelation and knowledge of who Jesus really is and what he's like. And the third thing, to remind us that he is the light and the life. We don't have to fear darkness. We don't have to, as believers, be worried about what's to come, because perfect love in the form of Jesus drives out fear. He has cast darkness away. It cannot be in his presence, because he is the light and he is the life. And then lastly, he came to us. That's the extent of his love for you this morning. Can we stand together? And I just want to pray for us in closing. I want to pray, church, for two things. The first thing is that we continue to get a revelation as we go through this book, just of who Jesus is really like and what he is like, so that we not only see and hear, but that we believe and we trust him. But can I also encourage you that the reason Jesus wants us to know what he is like is so that we can tell others, that we can be instrumental in those that are around us. And I want to encourage us this morning. I want to pray for us. Lord, help us to be on your mission. Help us to be on, like a John the Baptizer. Now, don't all go out and put raggedy clothes on and start eating wild locusts. And okay, I'm not saying that. But there was one thing that John was not afraid to do, was proclaim who Jesus was. And I believe we're living in a time, when you look around us, where there's a need for that proclamation to ring forth. Honestly, through the way we act, through the way we live our lives. So I want to pray for that this morning. Lord Jesus, I just pray that as we go on this journey through the book of John, that, Lord, it would inspire us to delve deeper into who you are, to open ourselves wider to your Spirit, to say, Lord, I want to be more like you. I thank you that, Lord, you come to reveal what the Father is truly like through the person of Jesus Christ. And Jesus, I thank you that as you come to us on a daily basis through your word, by the power of your Holy Spirit, I pray that, Lord, we would want to be more like you. So I pray for each one here that, Lord, there would just be a resounding, the resounding sentiment of Jesus, take us deeper, take us deeper. And Lord, second of all, I pray for each of us that, Lord, we would be representatives of you, that we would be like John the Baptizer calling out in the desert, that it's not me, but it's this one that has come, that it has life and life abundant, and you need to meet him. I pray, Lord, that over the next while we would see people coming in desperate for you. And Lord, as we go through this gospel, I pray, Lord, that there would be salvations that take place in our midst. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your heart. We pray, Lord, that our hearts would be open to everything you have for us through this series, because we ask this and we pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen. Amen, church.